Today on Real Radio.
The enemy is not somebody in some foreign land. The enemy is not some political leader or anything like that. The enemy, according to the Bible, is actually the powers and the forces that reside in a spiritual realm.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series that focuses on the opening verses of chapter 10, one of the many times that Paul uses military analogies to illustrate to the true believer that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his multi-part series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
The Bible says the Christian, us, are engaged in a spiritual war. Jesus made that very clear. The Bible makes it very clear. But very few Christians even believe it. The amazing thing is it's one of the indicators as to where you are at spiritually. Can you say in your spiritual life as a Christian that as you grow, you are understanding more and more that the enemy is not the person that lives next door, or it could be the person that lives under your own roof. The enemy is not somebody in some foreign land. The enemy is not some political leader or anything like that. The enemy, according to the Bible, is actually the powers and the forces that reside in a spiritual realm. And those powers, the Bible tells us, manifest themselves and their interests in the physical world, draped, veiled, camouflaged in the day-to-day, every, what we would say, common aspect of life. And if we're not careful as Christians, we will just begin to assume that this is the way that it is. And yet, when you peel it all back, there, the Bible tells us, are demonic forces and powers. Listen, before we get into this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So this we know by reading this more carefully. There are devices, there are schemes that Satan uses. And the Bible says don't be uninformed about them, because why? He wants to take advantage of us. The enemy's plan in any warfare or impending warfare scenario is to say that we have only good intentions. Right now we're hearing that from Vladimir Putin. We only have good intentions. Watch the news. That's all I'm saying. Just watch the news. For some of us who are a little older, we've seen this movie before. There's nothing new regarding that. But one of the ploys of the enemy is to get you to think everything's okay and I don't mean you any harm. All the while, that's one of the greatest ways to launch an attack, is to get you to enter into a battle that you are not aware that you are in a battle or you're the target. That's why we put so much effort into espionage or psychological warfare or things like that, is to get someone to think that we're not against them. And Satan is a master at this. In fact, as we've been pointing out, some people maybe in this room today might believe, oh, Satan is just a type. He's just a symbolic thing. He's not real. Well, my goodness, my dear friend, he got you with his first shot, didn't he? Because Jesus said he's real. Jesus said that he encountered him face to face. The Bible gives us the origin of who Lucifer was. And so this is critical stuff. The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, for us to be sober, to be vigilant as Christians, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. The greatest way, the only way that Satan and his antics can be resisted is by your great faith in Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the Bible, the more you read it, the more you study the Bible, the greater your faith. There's no way for your faith to be strengthened and grow but by taking it in. It's absolutely a fact. Now look, I'm going to say something right up in the front here. And if this is going to offend you, I just want you to think this through for a moment. The church, we've never seen bigger churches in America than this hour. There are more people attending church in America than ever before. There are more people, when you see these polls that say they believe in God and the Bible. Then why is America and why is the church in the condition that it's in? There's a big disconnect to what we say and what's really happening. And I would say that the proof is in the pudding as to what's really happening. The church in these modern days have fallen victim to its own desires in the sense that there's a lot of false gospels out there preaching a Jesus, for example, that is a user-friendly Jesus. He is a comfortable Jesus. He is a convenient Jesus. And he's a Jesus that supports my particular choice and lifestyle or agenda. He's a very cool Jesus. And we exercise our own will and cut out certain portions of the Bible, for example, to accommodate this Jesus that we want to have. And yet, my friend, the Bible does not speak of any kind of a Jesus like that whatsoever. The Bible tells us about a Jesus, and he's, by the way, he is the 21st century Jesus, who the Word of God never changes. Remember that. The Scripture announces that he's Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior, that he's the eternal God incarnate. The Bible says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. That implies, by the way, that he never changes. He's the Almighty God, the Bible says. He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Lamb of God, the captain of the Lord's armies. Wow. In the context of what we're studying, that's important. The Bible says that Jesus is the judge. And the Bible says that he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible says in Revelation 19:15 that when Christ returns in the second coming, not the rapture, the second coming, this is the Jesus of the Bible that others may want to reinvent, but this is who he is. In Revelation 19:15, the Bible says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And guess what? He's not out of control by doing that. If you float that verse out into the world today, can you imagine if we just right now posted that verse on your social site? You would have 1,000 people respond to that verse about how mean God is and how bad God is and how out of control God is. Why would somebody conclude that? Because they have a picture of a completely different Jesus that is being bred and spawned and disseminated in circles of churchianity. And it's deceiving people. And that's part of the great plan of the enemy. And let's pick it up in verse 4, as you guys, we've studied much up till then. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but mighty in God. And we're going to list 5 things. Remember, we got into this one last time. For pulling down strongholds, that's number 1. Number 2, casting down arguments. We started into that one. And we'll get into the 3rd one. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 4, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And 5, being ready. You're going to be surprised what this means. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Very quickly, we're going to throw it up on the screen, all of it together. Our first argument was this regarding the Christians' special weapons and tactics is to realize a few things. Number 1, it is this, that it, remember, it's not predicated upon you and I. It's not based on us. As a Christian, don't raise your hand, but if I were to say, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Okay, then you are a nun. Listen, you are not a spectator. You are a Christian. Big difference. The Christian cannot sit it out. What do we know? That this whole thing that you and I are involved in, it's not based on us. It's not predicated upon us. And we learned 3 very comforting things. We are not empowered by us. Thank God. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Number 2, we are not in this for ourselves. Before we were Christians, it was all about us. I should say all about me. I could care less about you. It was all about me. And don't look at me like that, because before you were a Christian, it was all about you too. But now it's not. Now we care more about others. And God does that. That is so unnatural. Think how strange that is. That God would work a work in your heart that you care now more about other people. That is amazing. And the third thing is, we're not under our own authority. Aren't you grateful? I'm so grateful. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he doesn't give you a 12-volt battery to do that. And he doesn't say, here, you know, just wave this flag around. You and I go out under the power of the Holy Spirit because it's all of God. The second thing we saw, point number two in our argument, our study, was this. You and I are engaged in a supernatural war. We talked about, remember, if a nuclear bomb went off, it wouldn't affect anything in the spirit. You could detonate a bomb and it would only blow up material things. It doesn't affect the spirit realm. And remember, we tried to make the point real clear when we showed you a video clip of Lord of the Rings and the Middle Earth and all that stuff. Scared some of you older people. The young kids really loved it, by the way. The older people said, you shouldn't show things like that. It's scary. Well, that was the whole point. I wanted to scare you. If you were listening, I told you, Hollywood, that's nothing compared to the reality of the warfare that you and I are involved in. And we looked at these three comforting things, that we battle in our own humanity. The war has begun already, and we enter into it, and we fight. Even though we are in this flesh, we are prone to the temptations and the attacks and the weaknesses, but we're not fighting the war based upon our humanity for victory, but we do fight it in our humanity as a person. In other words, we're waiting for heaven to come. Secondly, we battle with our new nature, the born again. Remember, we stressed the born again person. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to be made new. And so now the Bible tells us that the spiritual man, for example, is judged by no one, but he himself judges all things. We walk in the spirit. The third thing we saw is that because we battle from victory. When you read the fine print of the Bible, it's pretty comforting because the Bible tells us Satan is already defeated and his day is coming. That's good news. So church, pick it up with me if you would in verses 4 through 6. It's our third argument today and the concluding one. It's that only divine protection can save you. We started this last time against internal struggles. And I was pretty transparent with you guys on this one last time. When we talked about pulling down strongholds, these are the things, remember, that the enemy would seek to set up in your life, in thoughts, in actions. He'll use your past to try to erect these fortresses, these castles, and he wants to hold on to this area of your life. And I shared with you, do you guys remember what I shared? I shared with you, some of you didn't understand. One guy came up to me and I listen to this. I shared that before I was a Christian, I was involved in some pretty radical things, and God delivered me from that when I got saved. Some of you didn't hear the word delivered and came to me and said, Pastor, dude, what an encouragement. Now, this guy completely indicted himself. Pastor, what an encouragement. Man, I know what it's like to just keep struggling with that kind of stuff. I said, you didn't hear what I said. I said, for 37 years, that's been an absolute victory in my life. He misunderstood. I was not going to let that slide. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to repeat it. You can get the tape. You can listen to it later. But no. Listen, to God be the glory. That was my past and it is done. And God will do the same thing in your life. He's that powerful. I'm not. He is. And he, as it were, by the power of his word and by the Holy Spirit, goes to war against these internal struggles in our lives. The second thing, and here's where we pick it up, where we left off last time. In verse 5, is that we wage this war against external arguments. External arguments. Casting down arguments. Circle the word arguments in your Bible. The word arguments is an amazing word. It means this: ill computations. Ill reasonings. Ill, you know, like sick. Sick computations. Bad math. Bad reasonings. The word can mean bad science, bad logic, bad wisdom. Tainted, sick, polluted wisdom. You see, is there such a wisdom? The Bible says in James 3:15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic, of course. There is a wisdom of the world that the world thinks is brilliant, but the Bible says it's demonic wisdom. And it appeases the flesh. And the Bible says we need to be careful. There's external arguments. Now watch this, please. This message is boring unless you want to really apply yourself to this. So I want to warn you that up front, man. So be ready, because it's like, oh, he's just droning on. Be careful. Get this. Why? You and I deal with external arguments every day. You might think that you're safe against external arguments. None of us are safe against external arguments unless we are on guard, unless we are battle-minded, warfare-ready. And these arguments that are external are things that come. Listen, you hear them or you read them. They come and they bounce up against your head. Now look, listen, are you a Christian? Let me say this. Are you a biblical Christian? I don't care if you're a Calvary Chapel Christian. What's that going to do for you? I don't care if you're a Baptist Christian. What is that? I don't care if you're a Lutheran Christian. What is that? Are you a biblical Christian? Listen. Because, listen, we either think biblically or we do not. You can slap Christian on it. It doesn't make it biblical. Okay? What would happen in my life regarding an external attack that the Bible warns us about will wear on us in the last days? Relentless, it's going to come knocking on your door, on the door of your mind. Think of it. It's constantly bombarding you. I ask you this question. Is our culture under constant bombardment of certain arguments? Yes. Of course they are. Of course it is. And listen, you are commanded in Scripture to stand for truth and resist. How long are you supposed to resist? The answer is till you drop dead or till the Lord comes back. There's no out. There's no out on this as a believer. So listen to this. These external arguments are coming, and they are things that are anti-God. They're against God. Now, if you were the enemy, how would you attack? If I were the enemy, I would attack, first of all, by jamming communications. Do you know that when we go to war, ladies and gentlemen, one of the first things we do, if we don't send an aircraft over to some area that we want to mess up, we'll just do it from space. Did you know that? We get the enemy into a place where he cannot communicate with him, with his team, with himself. We'll scramble it. Now, some of the really good stuff that goes on is that we will listen to what's being said, we'll interpret the communication, and we will actually send the finish to the conversation, but we'll give them the information we want given. I'm not going to tell you where I was and what was going on, but I saw an opportunity. I saw a situation where a certain Air Force can project an entire squadron of planes coming, or if they had a squadron of planes going to a location, they can project nothing in the atmosphere at all. Everything becomes stealth. Think of that. The enemy is seeking to get you and I to entertain non-Christian, offensive things to God, listen, and work it into what we call our Christian biblical faith. That's why we need to be careful. This book is to judge everything that you and I, listen, hear. What you're hearing now, you should judge against this book. I don't care, are you listening? I don't care how famous the person is. I don't care how cute they are, or how long they've been in ministry, or how much money they have, or how sweet or charismatic they are. You judge them against this word. You do not fall for personality cults. And there's a lot going on in the name of Christianity because some nice guy or nice gal said it. And the Bible warns us that in the last days, deceivers would come. And what? Bring arguments from the outside in. And we need to be careful. The Bible warns us about this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says this, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter. Because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. What a wise warning that is. External arguments, they're going to come. And you remember, the word casting down means to take those arguments and whittle them away with the truth piece by piece. The third thing is this. Look at verse 5 goes on. And our special weapons and tactics, only divine protection can save you and I against outside assaults. When the Bible says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What a huge statement that is. The simple meaning of that statement is anything that takes the place of God sets itself up as God. Every high thing. The word translated there out of the original language is every arrogant thing. Every human proud thing. Interesting. That exalts itself, puts itself in the place of God or knowing God. And the word against, this is important. It is a logic. It is a way of thinking. It's an assault from the outside that is going to come against. Notice this. We're not talking about anything else but the church. You, the believer. The Bible promises from the outside attacks will be hitting your mind. Again, if you raise your hand and say you're a Christian, then according to the Bible, you are under assault by a myriad of demonic invisible forces that launch a war against you using words, using arguments, using trends and the atmosphere to try to get you off track. Now, you might say, Pastor, what do I need this for? I'm building you up for something. You're going to be shocked to find out how much of an assault you are under and how much ground you've yielded to the enemy's workings for all of us. Did I get your attention? Mark this down before I tell you about it. 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1, here's a promise. Beloved, believer, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That's a commandment. How do you test the spirits? Right here. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, a multi-part series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's one of a number of passages that speak of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer finds himself on a daily basis. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in a minute, we'll hear from Pastor Jack on a pretty important event coming up. Meanwhile, remember that this series is available on DVD. It's a 4-disc set that goes by the same title, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's yours for a gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 4-DVD series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. All right, here's Pastor Jack now with an announcement about an upcoming important event.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and I want to encourage you to attend a very special event coming up for those of you who are in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's going to be held at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, and I'm talking about the Harvest America Crusade with Pastor Greg Laurie. Greg's going to be bringing a great message, one night only, March 6th, and it's going to be a special time. And you know what's cool about it? It's a Sunday night, so pack up friends and family, neighbors, invite them. You know, this is a great event to bring people who would not normally attend a church service, outdoors, under the stars, as it were, open, great music, Chris Tomlin, Lecrae, Switchfoot, Mercy Me, just a very disarming event, but I can promise you this, Pastor Greg is going to be armed with the gospel. He's going to be armed with the gospel, bringing them the cross, the hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins through him. It's going to be a great night. Gates open up at 3:30. The event begins at 5:30. And it's going to be a tremendous time. So make plans to attend March 6th at AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas, for Harvest America.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.